Today's daf is Pesachim daf chaf. This is the last daf of the Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim Sugyas. We'll see if we get to actually finish the parak or not today. But today we're going to first finish up our discussion. We left off right in the middle of an inyan, but we were in the middle of discussing the issue of a tamei needle that's found inside basar. Oh, that's right. Today's daf is sponsored by Liad Maccabee in honor of the birth of his daughter yesterday, and Zechus Refuah Shleima for his wife, the Yoledes, Ariel Leah Basar Rivka. Mazel tov to the Maccabee family, and we thank them, of course, for the sponsorship. Okay, so today's daf is still daf chav, and we're going to first discuss we're going to finish up our discussion of from the previous daf about a tamei needle that's found in the flesh or excrement of a shechted karbon, and we're going to have different possibilities of how it is that the flesh could have become huchshel lekabel tumah. The basar has din of tumas ochlim, so in order for any food to become tamei, it needs hechshel lekabel tumah. Where was the hechsher that the basar became susceptible to tumah? And also why it is that when the tamei needle is in the excrement, why nothing becomes tamei? Shouldn't the tumah pass from the excrement to the flesh because the excrement touches the flesh? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the few inyanim relating to the transmission of tumah. We're going to suggest the longest possible chain you could ever have of tumah that starts with the sheretz, and then we're going to discuss the status of food that's in a kli cheres at the same time that a sheretz is dangling in the airspace of the kli cheres. What exactly, what level of tumah does that food have when a sheretz is dangling in the airspace at the same time? Then in we're going to go back, we're going to do a lot of chazara on Amid Beis. We're going to have a lot of the inyanim that we've discussed over the past several blot, and we're going to talk about going back to the discussion of how to get rid of chametz, of truma that's chametz, and the Gemara is going to ask a series of three contradictions in Tanaim on the topic of getting rid of truma that's chametz. We're going to answer each stira, then at the very end of the parak, we're going to talk about how we treat wine and oil that are in danger of becoming tamei, and we're going to discuss the extent to which we have to avoid misusing truma tamei. So we left off right in the middle of our discussion about the machat that was found inside the basar, the needle that's tamei that was found inside the basar, and the Gemara asked, "Hai machat maya vidite? What's the story with that needle? What do you mean it's tamei? What exactly do we know about this needle that we know for sure that makes us believe that it's tamei?" So we had a suggestion that maybe it was a safek machat. It was a needle that we weren't sure if it was tamei. The Gemara says, "Well, that can't be because the Rabbanan weren't goes there on a safek tumah in Yerushalayim." So the Gemara suggested, Rabbi Yudah Merav says, it's a machat tamei meis. This needle had touched somebody who himself had touched a dead body, and therefore the needle itself is an avatuma because cheref hareu kecholol, the metal object becomes exactly the same level of tumah as the item that it touches, as the person that it touches. So it's an avatuma, and we treat a safek tumah in the Yazara. So this is what we left off with, that we treat a safek tumah in the Yazara like a safek tumah bereshus harabim, and therefore we assume that it's tahar. We would make that assumption that it's tahar because the Yazara has a status of a rishus harabim. And then Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin explains that the cow was muzzled since entering Yerushalayim, so it's not a case of a safek tumah in Yerushalayim. It's a case of a safek tumah from outside of Yerushalayim because we know that this needle was swallowed by the cow from outside of Yerushalayim. But going back on the issue of treating the Azara like a Rishus Rabim, and therefore saying that because of that, Safik Tum Rishus Rabim is Tahar, so the Gemara says, we left off 5 lines from the bottom of the page, or 6 lines from the bottom of the page, 6 lines from the bottom of the page, Habir Rishus HaYachid, Sveiko Tamehu. But the implication then is that if it were in a Rishus HaYachid, we would consider this Safik to be something that we would say is Tamei. But Michti, Hai Machat Dover Shein Bo Das Lishalu. This Machat, the situation of the needle, is something that's Shein Bo Das Lishal. You can't ask it what its Tumah status is. V'kol Dover Shein Bo Das Lishal, Bein Berishas Ram, Bein Berishas Yachid, Sveik Otar. And the rule is that anything that's Shein Bo Das Lishal, we're not going to look at whether it's in Rishas Ram or Rishas Yachid. It's always going to be Sveik Otar. How do we know Safik Tumah Berishas Yachid is Tamei? Where do we learn that from? We learn it from Sota. Sota is about a person. a person's yesh v'das lishal, you can ask the sota what happened. Whether you get an honest answer, that's irrelevant, but the point is that it's yesh v'das, that there's das in the item that the suffix is in. So you don't have that by the case of the machad, and therefore we should always assume tahar. So it says Gemara, Mishum Davi suffix tuma haba'a bidei adam. V'am Rabbi Yochanan suffix tuma haba'a bidei adam. That since it's a suffik tuma that's ba bidei adam, as Rashi points out at the bottom, adam haya osuk ba v'im nagabo asakin b'machet al yedei adam nagabo hilkach im azar rishus yachet sveko tamei. That yes, the suffik is in the machet, which is which is something that's in vodas lishal, but the whole tuma only comes about by a person manipulating this needle. So if this sakin touches, if a knife touches the needle, and we have an issue about the tumma of the knife, is the knife tameh, is the knife not tameh, the knife only touched the needle because a person pushed the knife into the needle. A person made that happen. And therefore, even when it happens al yedei adam, then it's kedavar sheyesh bo das lishal. Then we consider that as if it's yesh bo das lishal because we look at the person rather than the chafza itself. Period. So now the Gemara goes back again to discuss this case. Again, we remember what the halacha we said was. The halacha was that if you find the needle in the basar of the animal, so we said the person is tahar, the knife is tahar, but the basar is tameh. The actual flesh is tameh. If you find it in the perish, you find it in the excrement of the animal, then everything is tahar. There's nothing that's tameh. So says the Gemara, v'abasar tameh. Hai basar diskasher b'mai. So we said the basar is tameh. Where's the hechsher on the basar? In order for any food to be kam tameh, you need hechsher the kabel tuma. Where do we have a hechsher the kabel tuma on this basar? So the Gemara is going to suggest four possibilities where the hechsher the kabel tuma happened over here, and the final possibility is going to stick. So says Gemara first. If you are to say that the hechsher happened from the blood of the animal, that the blood of the animal is machshir, the basar to be mekabel tuma, because the dam is one of the zayin mashkin that's able to be machshir something the kabel tuma, but how do I know dam kachim cannot be machshir something the kabel tuma? Because the pasuk says lo tochlenu ala aretz tishpach. So we darshin that dam shenishpach kamayim machshir, v'sheinu nishpach kamayim eino machshir. When is dam considered dam? Only if it's nishpach kamayim. If it spills out, if you could spill it out like water, if it's left to spill out and people don't care to save it. But dam that's not nishpach kamayim, dam that someone will go out of his way to save, namely dam kachim, where you have a mitzvah of zvikas adam, where you're going to go and catch it, so that's eino machshir, that's not going to be able to be machshir the kabel tuma. So that possibility can't be. It can't be that the hechsher happens al yedei the dam. So where's the hechsher? So the elad iskasha b'mashke b'smit b'chaya. Maybe the water used to wash the meat of the karbanos in the area where they would butcher the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe that water is machshir the meat to be mekabel tuma. So the Gemara says, well, that's not going to work either, because v'am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina mashki beis mit b'chaya lo dayan shein dachan ela shein machshirin. Not only are the mashki beis mit b'chaya, remember we had a whole discussion, the bei mid b'chaya, which kachim liquids are tahar, but we said the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said that the mashki beis mit b'chaya, not only are they themselves tahar, but they can't even be machshir anything else to be mekabel tuma. So it can't be that it's the water that we wash off the meat, that's the mashki beis mit b'chaya. It doesn't have the ability to be machshir, even though water in general does, but not that water, not the water from the beis mit b'chaya. So rather we have to suggest a third possibility. Ve'elu de'iskasher b'chibas hakodesh. So we're going to say that, no, the hechsher, how did the hechsher happen? It never happened. There was no actual kabel tuma. When it comes to kodesh, you don't need actual kabel tuma. It's automatically Hakshar Lekabel Tuma. And we use the concept, how does that work? Through Chibas HaKodesh. We had yesterday the concept of Chibas HaKodesh, but we applied it in a slightly different context. It taught us something else. Chibas HaKodesh we used to teach that the Atze HaMa'aracha, the Gacheles, all of these inedible things take on the status of Tumas Ochlin. They become Tameh, Ki'ilu, they were food. Aye, but they're not food. You don't eat Eitzim, you don't eat Gacheles, you don't eat Levona. So how could those things have the status of Tumas Ochlin? Chibas HaKodesh. Because they're Kodesh, they're so Chashuv, we view them like food. Meaning that generally Tumas Ochlin, we assume, is something that applies because food is very Chashuv. It's a function of the Chashivus of food. Because food is very Chashuv, so it has its own type of Tumah, its own category of Tumah, called Tumas Ochlin. So when you have something that's not edible, so it's not so chashuv. But if it's kodesh, so that gives it the chashivus, and we put it up in the category of food, even if it's not actually edible. That's chibas hakodesh. So over here we're suggesting a second din that chibas hakodesh can do, that chibas hakodesh can get us around the need for hechsher. You don't need to have hechsher lekabel tuma. So So the Minchas Chinuch is a little bit bothered by this. Why would Chibas HaKodesh get you around the need for Hechsher LeKabel Tumah? Meaning, well, what is it? I understand if it's about Chashivus. So if it's about Chashivus, like the issue of Tumas Ochlin, so Chibas HaKodesh, so it's very Chashuv. But what does Hechsher LeKabel Tumah have to do with Chashivus? It's not about Chashivus. So what taka is it about? So remember the other day we discussed, there are two basic mahalchim in the Rishonim about why Hechsher LeKabel Tumah works. Why do you need something to come in contact with one of the Zayin Mashkim in order for the food to be susceptible to Tumah? So we had the Shita of the Sefer HaChinuch, where the Sefer HaChinuch said, it's the Gemar Pri, that in order for something to be considered a food, you need to wash it. That's how food is consumed. You don't just take food, you wash off a piece of food before you eat it. So it's not considered a Shem Ochel, it doesn't take on the status of a shame of a food until you wash it off. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch understands. The Ramban understood a little differently. The Ramban al Torah has this comment that the way Hechsher LeKabel Tumah works, again, it's difficult to understand exactly what he means by this, but he says just like on a physical level, if you have, let's say, a fruit and it has water on it, so let's say it doesn't have water and the fruit is totally dry, and you have some dirt and you put it on the fruit, so you can blow it right off. It slides right off the fruit. But if you have water on the fruit and then some dirt hits, so then it adheres to the surface of the fruit. It sticks to it. So the Ramban says on a metaphysical level also, tumah is like a shmutz, it's like a little bit of dirt, so the tumah can't stick to the fruit if the fruit is totally dry. The fruit has to come in contact with the liquid first, and that will allow the tumah to stick to the fruit. The fruit will be able to hang on to that tumah. The tumah is not just going to slide off of the fruit. So if you say, like the first possibility, like the Sefer HaChinuch, that the idea of Hechsher LeKabel Tumah is that it's the Shem Pri, it gives it a Shem Pri, so that we can understand very well what's going on over here. Why is it that Chibas HaKodesh gets you around the need for Hechsher LeKabel Tumah? Because the whole inyan of Hechsher LeKabel Tumah is that it gives it a Shem Pri, is that it gives it the Chashivus of being a fruit. It's not just an inanimate object, it's an inanimate object that now has the Chashivus of food. But we already saw that Chibas HaKodesh is its own Chashivus. So that will give it a Shem food even if it's not even edible, even if it's not even food. So it should work also to give it that Shem Gemar Pri. But what if you say like the Ramban, and what does Chibas HaKodesh have to do with anything? Why should the Tumah stick more because of Chibas HaKodesh? So I was thinking, I could be wrong, but I was thinking that in general, we always find by Tumah that Tumah sticks there's higher sensitivity and susceptibility to Tumah by items that have more Kedusha. Why are we so hypersensitive about Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash? Because the Beis HaMikdash is a place that's Kadosh. Why is it that Meisei Yisrael are Metame Ba'ohel, but Meisei Akum is not Metame Ba'ohel? Because Yisrael has more Kedusha. So because there's more Kedusha, there's more room for Tumah. There's always a higher susceptibility for a tumah, and this is an idea in general about kochos hatumah and kochos hakedusha in the world. This is yadua in Svarim, that there is this like balance in the world. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an Emes LeYaakov where he explains that why is it that the Rambam says that there's no such thing as shedim b'zman hazeh. He says, of course, there once was when we had ruach hakodesh, so we had the counterbalance of shedim. When we had nevuah, so there was a counterbalance of all sorts of kochos hatumah, of kishuf, and these kinds of things. But now that we don't have the kochos hakedusha, so you don't have the kochos hatumah either. It's the same issue with tumah and tahara. Tumah attracts itself. Tumah is much more likely to happen. Tumah is a much greater danger when you're dealing with things that are a kadosh. So what is it that the Ramban says Hechsher does? Hechsher makes the food more susceptible to tumah. It makes the tumah stick. It makes the tumah attach itself to the food more easily. You know what else can make tumah attach itself to the food? The food being kadosh. So chibas hakodesh makes it that the food is very kadosh, and therefore tumah is able to attach itself to the food more easily. So anyway, that maybe is how to understand this idea of chibas hakodesh, getting you around the issue of hechsher lekabel tumah. So says Gemara, emor de mahanile. Chibas hakodesh lefsul legufe leminim be rishon v'sheni nami. So he says, but yes, we know that chibas hakodesh is enough to say that that it itself becomes tamei, but to then give the item the ability to be metamei other things also, to make a rishon v'sheni, do we know that chibas hakodesh is going to be able to do that? Meaning, yeah, it gets you around the need for hechsher to say that this item becomes tamei, but how is it then going to be able to be metamei other things? Do we ever find that chibas hakodesh is able to accomplish that? And if we do, and if you're going to say, yeah, this is where we do find it, well then, tifshot debay Reish Lakish, we should use this to answer Reish Lakish's shayla, because Reish Lakish asked the question, tsarid shel menachos, mono barishon v'sheni olo. If you have the tsarid shel menachos, like a clump of a carbon mincha is made up of flour and oil and then a little lavona as well, but the ratio of flour to oil is supposed to be enough oil that it can mix around properly with all the flour, that all the flour will be touched by the oil. But that's what we call bila when you actually mix it around. But you don't actually have to do the bila, you don't actually have to do the mixing to make sure every bit of flour gets soaked from the oil in order for the carbon to be kosher. So sometimes you'll have a clump of dry flour in the carbon mincha. So you have this dry flour in the carbon mincha. So manu barishon v'sheni olo. Where's the hechsher lekabel tumah? Never touched anything wet? No, but it's chibas hakodesh that's machshir lekabel tumah. So will you also say rishon v'sheni? Will it be able to transmit tumah to something else? So we should be able to be metarets based on what we just said, that yeah, that we find that it is able to. So I'm Rabbi Dor Shmuel going to say parash al zivchei shlamim. So Rabbi Dor Shmuel says fourth possibility that has, again, we'll go back to the drawing board, because we didn't use this to answer Reish Lakish's question, it must be that this possibility is not correct. The hechsher lekabel tumah did not happen as a result of chibas hakodesh. So back to the issue, where does the hechsher lekabel tumah hit this basar? Where did the basar ever become hechsher lekabel tumah? So Rabbi Dor Shmuel says as follows: Gon shei sapara shel zivchei shlamim. The carbon that we're talking about was a carbon shlamim, was a cow. That was a carbon shlamim. Ve'evira b'nahar, and the person who was bringing it passed it through a river, vishachta, and then shechted it right after he walked it through a river. Vadain mashka tofeach aleha, and there was still moisture all over dripping on the animal. So that's why it's going to be hukshal lekabel tumah. It's the water. What water? Not the mashka beis mitbechaya. That water is not machshal lekabel tumah. It's the water from the river that they walked the animal through. What are they walking an animal through the water for? What was the purpose? So Rashi explains that they used to walk the animal through the water because it would make it much easier to skin the animal. The skin would come off much more easily. They would do two things. They'd walk it through water, and then they would give it a lot to drink. They would hydrate the animal, and then the skin comes off much more easily. So says Rashi, that's why it gives the example of parashel zivchei shlamim. Who cares what kind of carbon it is? Every carbon needs to be skinned. Yeah, but by carbon shlamim, the ore goes to the bailim. So he he wants to make sure that the or remains intact. He wants to make sure that the hide of the animal remains strong and remains intact. So he's going to dafka go out of his way to be mashka the animal in order that the or should remain intact. That's how Rashi says. The Rambam, I think, says a little differently. I think the Rambam says that the reason they would be mashke it was not for the art to remain intact. I'm trying to remember what he actually does say. I don't remember. I'm not all there today. But so the Rambam has a whole different approach as to why they would be mashke the behema, why they would give the behema to make the animal wet. So then, according to the Rambam's approach, that's the kasha the Achronim asked. So why is it that we give the example dafka of a karban shlamim? Then what is it about a karban shlamim that that we have to give the example that it became hukshal lekabel tuma only when you pass a karban shlamim through the water? So there is another machlokas rishonim about hukshal lekabel tuma, and that is that in order for something to become hukshal lekabel tuma, the Gemara says ki yutan dum yidchiyitein, that you need the water to come in contact with the Ochel, with the l'ratzon. It has to be l'ratzon. It has to be, the person has to be happy about the fact that the water is there. So what does that mean, l'ratzon? L'ratzon of who? So that's the discussion of the Rishonim. Is it l'ratzon of anybody? Just as long as there's a human being that's happy that it's coming in contact, someone that's making it touch, or someone that sees it touch and is happy about it, or is it dafka l'ratzon habaylin? Does it have to be the owner of the animal that has the ratzon that's happy about it? So that's, I think, the Ksos explains that the Rambam holds it's the ratzon habaylin, that it has to dafka be the baylin, otherwise the hechshel kabel tuma doesn't work. Who's the Bailam of Kachay Kachim? So the Bailam of Kachay Kachim is the Ribon Shalom. So the fact that the guy who's bringing the karban puts the animal in water doesn't mean that it's Hukshal Kabel Tuma, because you don't know that the Bailam wants the water to come in contact with the Ochel. But Kachim Kalim is not Momun Kavoa, it's Momun Bailam. The fact that he gets to keep parts of the animal, he gets to eat it, it's not Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, that he's eating the Ribon Shalom's food. It's his own food. So that's why the Gemara Dafka gives the example of a Karban Shlamim, because we want to give an example of a Karban that he himself is the owner of, so that when he puts it through the water, he's going to be Makshur LeKabel Tuma. Okay, that was all in terms of how the Basar became Hukshur LeKabel Tuma. The next discussion is Nimseis Peperesh HaKol Tar. We said that if you find the needle in the excrement, in the dung of the animal, so then everything is Tahar. So, Frak the Gemara Ben Ahad Peperesh from Nitzmiya LeBasar, why do we say that when the needle is found in the excrement, the flesh is tar, shouldn't the excrement be considered a mashke, which can be metame the basar, meaning we assume it's liquidy, so if it's a mashke that became tame from the machat, it should then turn around and be metame the basar. A mashke could be metame an ochel. So the Gemara suggests two approaches. Number one, Amravad Barava Beperish Ava. That maybe we're dealing with very thick excrement, and therefore it's not considered a mashka, so it cannot be metame the basar. Ravashi Amar, Afilutem Beperish Raka. We might even be talking about very liquidy excrement, but still it's not going to be able to be metame Mishum Davi Mashka Saruach, because it's mashka suruach, it's putrid, it's disgusting. And disgusting liquid is not considered a mashka. A mashka has to be something that's not absolutely gross. So since it's disgusting, it's not going to be able to be metame the basar. Now the Gemara teaches two halachos about the transmission of tumah. So first, Tani Tana Kamei Dura Sheshes. Sheretz metame is a mashkin. Let's follow the line of tumah over here. You have a sheretz, touches the liquid, so it's metame the liquid. Umashkin metame is a kli. That liquid will turn around and be metame a kli. Ukli metame is a kli. That kli will turn around and be metame food. So how many levels down are we already? The sheretz is the avatuma, so the kli would be the rishon. Now the food would be the sheni. Va'ochlin metame is a mashkin. That food would turn around and make a mashke a shlishi. V'lamanu shalosh tumos b'sheretz. So we see that there are three levels of tuma on a sheretz. So says Gemara, what are you talking about? You just told me four levels. Hani Arbahein, that you just went through four levels of tumah. You went through the sheretz to the mashkin, to the kli, to the ochel, to the mashke. So there were four transmissions of tumah. So it says Gemara goes mashkin deresha. You got to take out the first mashke from the train. So the Braisa taught that a sheretz can be metame a kli to become a rishon, which can be metame a food to become a sheni, which can be metame liquids to become a shlishi. Right? That's how you have to read it. That it's metame the liquids to become a shlishi. And that assumes like Rabbi Akiva. We're talking about liquids that are chulin. So we're assuming like Rabbi Akiva's sheet to remember that even chulin can become a shlishi. Now, so says Gemara, why don't we suggest a case where the liquid is metame a kli? Why do we take out where it goes mashkin deresha? Why do we take out the mashkin of the resha, the first mention of a mashke? Why don't we take out the second mention? Goes mashkin de seifa. Why don't we take out the second mashke? So it says more laashkan tana damra mashkin metame and kli ella Rabbi Yehuda v'hadabe. No, because then if we leave the first mashke in, so what happens? The sheretz was metame the mashke. The mashke turned around was metame a kli. Who holds that mashke can be metame a kli? So this takes us all the way back to Daf Tezayin. Remember, on the top of Tezayin Amar Aleph, we had a brisa with the four rabbis and the three opinions of how tame a mashke actually is. So it's only Rabbi Yehuda who holds that Rabbi Yehuda says lakol tame, that the mashke can be metame anything. It could be metame food. It could be metame a kli. That mashke not on the daraisa level has the ability to be metame everything. So Rabbi Yehuda is the only one that said that a mashke could be metame a kli. But then remember, as we were analyzing in the Gemara right away, we saw Rabbi Yehuda was chazer bo, because we found another brisa where Rabbi Yehuda clearly assumed that a mashke cannot be metame a kli. So we don't want to have a brisa which is going to rely on sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that even Rabbi Yehuda himself doesn't hold of in the end of the day. So that's why we can't. We have to take out the mashke deresha, not the mashke de sefer. We don't want a brisa that talks about a mashke being metame a kli. V'simanayich nazyasa, and the way to remember this train of tuma is nazyasa, is that you remember how beer is made, and you remember this transmission of tuma, because apparently that's the way they would make beer using the various ingredients. Rashi says seder matile shechar saorin tchila nosin kli v'acharkach ochel v'acharkach mashke, that it's kli then ochel then mashke when in the beer making process. So because of that, that will keep us. That will remind us of how a sheretz can transmit its tumah. So that was one issue about the transmission of tumah. Second issue now about the transmission of tumah. Tananas, and we have Mishnah. Sheretz shenimtza betanur hapascha betocho shnia. If you have a sheretz that's in the airspace of a tanur, now the tanur we assume is a klicheres. So klicheres is unique in the way that it's mekabel tumah. Klicheres cannot be mekabel tumah migabo, from the outside. If a sheretz touches the outside of the klicheres, does not become tamei. It's only mitocho, it's only from inside, but it doesn't actually have to touch the inside. As long as it's in the airspace of the kli, as long as the tumah is dangling in the airspace of the kli becomes tamei. So I think the way they explain that is that normally a kli has inherent value, that the value of the kli is the material that makes up the kli, of a metal kli made out of copper, made out of silver, so the kli itself has value. So that's where the tumah is going to hit, on the part of the kli that is valuable. The whole material of the kli has value. Cheres is garbage. Cheres is earth. It doesn't have any inherent value. It's the dirt of the ground. It doesn't have any inherent value. What's the value of a kli cheres? The whole value is the fact that it's a container, is that it can hold something. So since that's its entire value, that's where it's makabel tumah, in the fact that it can contain something. So only in the airspace, on the inside of the kli, it's makabel tumah. So you have the sheretz dangling in the airspace of the tanur, and you have bread in the oven as well. So we know the sheretz is an avatuma. So what does that make the bread? So says the Mishnah, a sheni mipnei shatanu tchila. The sheretz is metame the oven becomes a rishon, the bread that's in the oven becomes a sheni. So amalei ravad barava l'rava v'nechzi l'hai tanu k'mandu mali tuma dami. Wait a second, why is the bread only a sheni? When the sheretz is dangling in the airspace of the oven, shouldn't we view the entire oven as if it's filled to the brim with tuma, and therefore v'tavi hai pas rishona, the bread that's in the oven at that very same time should be a rishon, because it should be considered that it's becoming tameh directly from the sheretz. Not that you need a transmission from the sheretz to the oven and then the oven to the bread. No, it should go straight sheretz to the bread. It doesn't need to touch the bread. The whole inside of the oven is considered to be malei sheretz. So shouldn't the bread be considered rishon? Amar lei lo salka daitoch t'tanya. So no, it does not work that way, because the Braisa tells us, you call a kelim and tamim me'avri kli cheres. You might think that even kelim become tamei from being in the avir of a kli cheres. So tamal lomar kol asher betocho yitma. Now remember the thing about kelim cannot become a sheni. Adam kelim cannot become a sheni. Only that's tumas ochlin. That's only an ochel can become a sheni l'tuma. So you might think that the kelim become tamei from being in the avir kli cheres while the sheretz is dangling, because it's considered that it's in direct contact with the sheretz. Meaning that's going to be not only is it an nafkamina as to what level of tuma the bread is going to have when the sheretz is dangling in the oven. There's going to be a nafkamina. Can kelim become tamei at all when it's in the oven at the same time? When you have kelim in the oven at the same time that the sheretz is dangling. If we view the whole inside of the oven as if it's mali sheretz, and the sheretz is kilu, it's touching everything inside the oven, well then kelim can become tamei from the sheretz. Sheretz touches kelim, the kelim can become tamei. But if you don't view it that way, you view it that the sheretz is touching the oven, and the sheretz is being metamei the oven. The oven then turns around and is being metamei the contents of the oven, well then the kli won't become tamei, because it's already a sheni, and the kli can't become a sheni. And yet we see that the Gemara darshin that the kelim do not become tamei. Tamei lo makol asher betocho yitma v'samach lei mikol ha'ochel. Ochel mitamei me'avir kli cheres v'ein kol ha'kelim mitamei me'avir kli cheres. Only food can become tamei from being in the airspace of the kli cheres at the same time as the sheretz. Other items cannot become tamei. What does that tell you? That tells you that we don't view the entire oven as if it's filled with sheretz, as if it's filled with tumas sheretz. We view it as if the oven becomes tamei from the sheretz, and then it has the ability to be mitamei the food that's inside of it, but it cannot be mitamei the kli. A kli cannot be mitamei a kli. The oven's not going to be mitamei the kelim inside of it. Okay, now we're going to go, the Gemara is going to go back to discuss how to destroy Truma Tamea that's Chametz, and we're going to present three seeming contradictions in Tanaim. So, says Gemara first, Rav Chista Rami Pischa Pischa Umeshani, that Rav Chista asks a stira in Pesach, and he's going to give an answer. Miyam Rabbi Shua Shtein Ka'achas, does Rabbi Shua really hold that you're allowed to burn Truma that's definitely Tamei with Truma that's a Suffolk Tamei, with Truma that's Taluya, that's maybe Tamei, maybe not? Or a minhu, I'll ask you a stira. Am Rabbi Yossi, ein anidon domalaria. Remember, Rabbi Yossi said in the Braisa that you can't compare the halachos of Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim of burning two levels of tumah with each other, and the halachos of Rabbi Kiva also burning two levels of tumah with each other with the shemen and the ner. You can't compare that with truma that's chamei to ner of Pesach. It's a whole different story when you're dealing with truma that's chamei to ner of Pesach. Why is it not at all comparable? I mean, you can't learn from, what did Rav Meir want to learn from there? Rav Meir wanted to say, oh, you see from there that you're allowed to take Truma that's Tamei and burn it together with Truma that's Tahar, even though the Tahar Truma is going to become Tamei. So Rabbi Yosef said, no, not at all comparable. Kishidu Rabbi Seinu al Mahidu. When you had Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim being made, what was he talking about? He was talking about taking a Rishon Tuma, Kachin that's a Rishon L'tumah, and burning it together with Kachin that's a Shlishi L'tumah. But Zet Tameh, Vizet Tameh. But the one thing that they were both Tameh beforehand, the Rishon L'tumah was Tameh, the Shlishi L'tumah was Tameh. It was just a matter of how Tameh, of how intense the Tumah was. So that's when we said, okay, if it's only about the intensity of an already existing Tumah, yeah, then you could burn them together. Imal Hashem, Shnusab L'tful Yom, Shmadlikin also Bener, Shnit M'tameh Meis. And you're going to take Rabbi Akiva's case, where what did Rabbi Akiva say? You have the ner that became tamei from a tamei meis, and cherev harei kol, the ner was an avatuma, and the shemen was a shlishi, and you're allowed to burn that shemen of truma that's a shlishi in such a ner, even though the shemen is now going to turn into jump from a shlishi all the way to a rishon. Yeah, but zeh pasul v'zeh tameh. At least the shemen was pasul at first. It was a shlishi, so it can't be metameh other things because it was a shlishi b'truma. It was the end of the line. But at least it was pasul. At least that it had that it was pasul. So afanu mojim b'truma shenitves b'vladatuma shesavrono sonim b'truma shenitma. So he says, I'll be mode that if you have truma that became tameh with a vlada tuma and truma that became tameh with an avatuma, meaning if you're dealing with two types of truma, with two pieces of truma that are both already tameh, and it's just a matter of degree how tameh they are, good, so mode that you could burn them together. How could you take something that's suffic tameh to begin with and burn it together with something that's actually tameh? Shemi yavo Eliyahu v'yitarin. And Avi might come and tell you that the Tluya is actually Tahar. And then it will turn out that you're burning Tahar together with Tameh. So bottom line is that's a stira. Why? Rabbi Yeshua holds you can burn Truma that's definitely Tameh with Truma that might be Tameh. Rabbi Yossi said in a Braisa that items of differing levels of Tuma can be burned together, but you cannot burn Tluya. Imatameh, you're not allowed to burn a suffix, something that's suffix tameh with something that's definitely tameh. So the Gemara says, "Mashani haRabbi Shimon v'alibid Rabbi Yeshua, haRabbi Yosi alibid Rabbi Yeshua." It's a machlokas of the later Tanaim about what Rabbi Yeshua really held. Rabbi Shimon thought that Rabbi Yeshua held that they can be burnt together. Rabbi Yosi thought that Rabbi Yeshua held that they cannot be burnt together. That tuluya with tameh cannot be burnt together. D'tanya yudal shchalios b'Shabbos when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, mevarnes hakol milufnei haShabbos. So you burn everything before Shabbos. Get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. The sarf and trumos tmeos, tluyos utahoros divrei meir. And Rameir says you burn all the trumos, the truman that's tameh, the truman that's tahar, and the truman that's safek. Rabbi Yossi omer tahora b'fnei atzma, utluya b'fnei atzma, utmeya b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Yossi says, no, if you're burning truma that's tameh, truma that's tahar, and truma that's maybe, that's safek, you can't burn any of them together. You have to burn them all separately, because you don't want to be metameh truma that either is or might be tahar. So I'm Rabbi Shimon, lo nechleku Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shuala Torah v'al tmeh shein sarfin. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, I don't think that Rabbi Yossi got Rabbi Yeshua's opinion correct. There is no machlokas Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shua about burning tahar and tmeh together. That obviously you're not going to be allowed to do. Ala tluya v'al Torah shesarfin. Tluya with tahora that you are allowed to burn together. Alma nechleku ala tluya v'al tmeh. The whole machlokas is can you burn tluya together with tmeh? She Rabbi Lozer omer tisarif zubiatzma v'zubiatzma. That's where Rabbi Lozer says that even then it needs to be burnt into each one separately. Rabbi Shom or Shtein Kachas, and Rabbi Yeshua says that they can be burnt together. So bottom line is that Vahamasis Rabbi Yossi. That's the next question. So bottom line is it turns out that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi argue about what Rabbi Yeshua held. Rabbi Shimon thought that Rabbi Yeshua held that Tluya together with Tameya can be burnt. Rabbi Yossi thought that Rabbi Yeshua held Tluya with Tameya cannot be burnt. So it says Gemara only one problem. Vahamas Nisan Rabbi Yossi. But the mission that we quoted is Rabbi Yossi. So meaning what we were trying to be mitareitz is the shita that holds that they can be burned together, but we said, oh, that must be going like Rabbi Shimon. But no, it's Rabbi Yossi, and you just said that Rabbi Yossi holds that they cannot be burned together. So it says Mar Hachi Kamar Rabbi Yossi the Rameir. Afilu Rabbi Shimon va'alibid Rabbi Shua demekel ki mekel b'tliy b'tmeya al b'torah t'meya lo Rabbi lo. But so we're saying no. What Rabbi Yossi was saying is that even if you're going to take Rabbi Shimon's point of view, that you're allowed to take Tluya and Tameya and burn them together, even Rabbi Shimon would only say that Rabbi Shua allows burning Tluya and Tameya together. But Tahora and Tameya, even Rabbi Shimon wouldn't allow, would not think that Rabbi Shua allows such a thing. So Rabbi Yossi was talking within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, but he himself would hold, Rabbi Yossi himself would hold, that Tluya and Tameya cannot be burnt together. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rami, Truma, Apischa, Umeshani. So he asks a different stira. So this is stira number two. Now, it's between Truma and Pesach, and he answers the stira. What's the stira? Miyam Rabbi Shua Shteim Ka'achas? Does Rabbi Shua really hold that how can you say that Rabbi Shua, let's see, does Rabbi Shua really hold the two of them can be burnt together? Or Aminu Chavish al Truma Shenolad Bas Safik Tuma? If you have a barrel of Truma, that there's a Safik Tuma in the barrel of Truma, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Imaisu Munachas Makama Torfa Yani Chenu B'Makama Motzna. So remember, this is Chazar already. We already had this Mishnah. So if it's in an unprotected area where it might become Tameh, so put it somewhere protected where it's not going to become Tameh. Put it somewhere safe. Even though it might already be Tameh, it might be too late. But still, it might not be too late. So put it somewhere safe. V'maisa Magula, Yechasen. And if it's exposed, cover it up. You want to protect it. Rabbi Shua Omer Maisa Munachas Makama Mutzna Yanechene B'Makama Torfa. Rabbi Shua says the opposite. He says if it's in a protected place, go put it out in the open. V'maisa Mechusa, Yigalena. And if it's covered, uncover it. Let it become Vaday Tameh. So at least you'll know what you're dealing with. Being in the state of Teluya, of not knowing whether of a Safek Tumah, that's the worst. So make it Vaday. Now you can't be, so how do you make it Vaday? Leave it in a place where it will definitely become Tameh. So we're saying, how can you say that Rabbi Shua holds its Aser to burn Truma Teluya with Truma Tameya? What does Rabbi Shua say in this Mishnah? If you have Truma that's Safek, that's Teluya, what should you do with it? Let it become Tameh. Leave it. So why can't you burn it with Truma Tameh? Isn't that the same thing? That you let it become Tameh? So it says, Grama in biyadayim lo. Big difference. You're not allowed to burn it together, Truma Tameh, because then you are actively making the Truma Taliya Tameh. You're actively being Metameh biyadayim. That you're not allowed to do. What did Rabbi Shua recommend if you have Taliya? Leave it out somewhere exposed in a place that it's going to easily contract them on its own, but you're not going to physically do anything. The steer is the opposite. How can we say that we say that you're only allowed to do Alidei Grama, not be a dayim? So how can we say that Rabbi Yeshua even allows? What's the stira? How can we say Rabbi Shua holds that it's aser to burn Truma Teluya with Truma Tameya? In the Mishnah Maseches Trumos, he holds that we can leave the Truma Teluya unprotected from Tuma, but you're not allowed to be directly metameh it. Right, so how can it be that he holds that you are allowed to directly burn them together? So again, the Gemara is going to answer to Machlokas what Rabbi Shua really holds. So Gemara Mashani, Har Rabbi Shimon alibid Rabbi Shua, Har Rabbi Yossi alibid Rabbi Shua. It depends whose version of Rabbi Shua you have, whether you're allowed to or not allowed to burn the Teluya together with the Temeya. Rabbi Lazar Rami, now we're up to the third steer. Rabbi Lazar Rami, Truma Atruma. Mishani. Rabbi Lazar asks the stira between two cases of truma and gives an answer. Miyam Rabbi Shua grama in biyadayim lo. Does Rabbi Shua hold that you're only allowed to indirectly cause tuma to the truma, but you're not allowed to do it directly? Or Aminu will ask his stira. Chavish al truma shenishpa begas al yona v'tachta achulin. Let's say you have a barrel of truma that breaks on the upper level and underneath it is chulin, so all the truma is going to come out of the barrel and land into the chulin. So the chulin tamei and land into the chulin. That's tamei, so it's going to ruin everything. The chulin is going to become ruined because it's going to become mixed with the truma. The truma is going to become ruined because it's going to become tamei from landing in the chulin. So moder Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shua shemiyachal lahatzul men revius betara yatzis. Everyone agrees. If you can find a tahar kli in time to be able to save a revius of that wine that's dripping, go ahead and do that. Remember, we had the discussion from Rav Chanan, why dafka revius? Who says that there's a dinner of revius? Fine. So you definitely should do that. Vimlav, but let's say you can't find a tahar kli. The only kli you could find to save it is tameh. So Rav Lezer omer terid v'tameh v'al yitamena biyad. So Rav Lezer says you can't catch anything then. Let it all go and drip in, and let it be metameh itself. You can't actively be metameh it. Rabbi Shua omer yitamena biyad. Rabbi Shua says, no, you should actively be metameh it. You could go and catch it in the kli and be metameh biyad. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Shua holds that you're only allowed to do alidei grama, you're allowed to leave it in an unprotected area, but you're never allowed to be metameh biyad? Over here you see you are being metameh biyad, so this should sound familiar. The Gemara says, umeshani shani hasam dika hefsid chulin. No, over there it's different because chulin is going to be destroyed by the truma falling into it. You're going to lose all that chulin. So then you're allowed to be metameh biyad. But when there's no hefsid chulin, you're not allowed to be metameh biyad. So maskar rav masnisa nani hefsid eitzim. What do you mean? When it comes to burning them together, there's also a hefsid mamon. Because if you're not going to allow burning them together, it means you have to make a separate fire with separate wood, and that also costs money. The wood's not free, so shouldn't you worry about that as well? So we're only worried about a significant loss of money, not an insignificant loss of money. How much does the extra pile of wood cost? Very little. So that we're not worried about. But all the schooling that's going to get ruined, that we are worried about. Where do we find that we're only choshish for hafsim ruba, not for a hafsim muat? Titania, chavish shel shemen truma shenishpro begas elyona. Let's say it's oil of truma in the upper barrel, ubetachtona chulin tamein, and the bottom barrel has chulin that's tamei. Moder Rabbi Elazar the Rabbi Shoshim yachalat lemen revius betari yatzil v'imlav teir v'tamei vali tamein abiyad. Then everyone's going to agree. Let it just fall and become tamei. Don't catch it in a tamei kli. Even Rabbi Shoshim is going to agree that let it fall and become tamei. Why? Because apparently there's no concern of hefsid when it comes to the shemen. Maishna shemen, the royal lahadik. No, so why is it that we're not worried about the oil? Because even if the oil is tamei and is a taroves of truma and chulin, you could still light it. Because what do you do with truma tamei? You burn it. So you'll still be able to be madlik the shemen, so it's not such a hefsid chulin, it's not such a loss. So says Gemara, well, yayin nami, royal zilof. Well, by the wine also, you have some use for it. You can use it for zilof. They used to make a pleasant aroma that would spread wine on the floor. So can't you use it for zilof? V'chitem zilof lav milsi. And if you're going to say, no, but that's a very insignificant value for wine to be used for ziluf. Wine really, its ikar chashivus is to be drunk, whereas shemen to be used for burning is a very significant value. So, but we know that that's not true. Ziluf is a very chashva use of wine. If you buy wine for one seller to drink, you buy wine for two sellers to do ziluf with. So says Mar B'chadash, it's new wine, you can't do ziluf with it because it's brand new. So make it old! Age the wine! So Gemara, no, you don't want to leave truma tomato wine around to age it because then someone might come to drink it. Well, then shemen ami asi beli de takala. Shemen also, shouldn't you worry that it's going to be bali de takala? To rami lebe kli matlus. No, you could put the shemen in a gross kli, and therefore you're never going to come to drink it. You're never going to come to ingest it. You'll only use it for adlaka. Yain ami rami lebe kli matlus. So can't you do the same thing with the wine? Put it in a disgusting kli, and you're never going to come to drink it. Says Gemara. Ziluf kabaylei beklimos ramilei. What you want to use it for ziluf, for to give a pleasant aroma? You can't put it in a klimos, so it'll ruin the entire idea of the wine. And that's the difference between the wine and the shemen. So what's the difference in the end of the day? That the shemen is not a hefsin meruba, and therefore the shemen we're not going to allow you to catch it in a tamei kli to save it, because it's not a hefsin meruba. Let it fall in, it'll be matame everything, and you light it. The yayin is a hefsin meruba. So since it's new wine, it's a hefsin meruba. And that's why we allow you to catch it in that kli. So tomorrow we'll get into the issue of takala, when we're worried about takala, when we're not worried about takala.